23 minutes before 1 o'clock. Time for Insight. The trains could roll yet again on the White Pass Railway. Whitehorse businessman Rolf Hogan is leading a group that wants to buy the historic line. But all along, the selling price has been a major stumbling block. Mr. Hogan has just returned from another round of negotiations on buying the railway, and he has good news. The two sides have agreed on a price. But the Hogan Group says it needs government help to come up with the money. It's asking government leaders in the Yukon, Ottawa, and in Alaska for financial support. Today on Insight, we want to ask whether you want your tax dollars to help buy the railway. Give us a call at 667-6265. And please call collect through the operator if you're dialing long distance. The number again, 667-6265. Rolf Hogan is my studio guest today. Good afternoon. Welcome to Insight.
Good afternoon.
Was it a relief to finally know exactly how much money you need to raise to buy the railway?
Yes, I think so, because we have been working on the total project for 6 to 7 months now, and we had to do all the research as to the condition of the railroad and how we might operate it and operate it profitably, and at that point establish how much we could afford as a business group to pay for it. And then we had to get into negotiations to what really was the price that White Pass wanted for the railroad, and that's what has been resolved this past week.
Can you tell us how much government help you need?
Well, I don't think I should be putting specific numbers, but it's in the millions.
So how many of my tax dollars does that mean?
Well, you know, it depends on how we're talking about it. Government involves itself in many enterprises if they're economic benefits or if they're heritage reasons or tourism reasons. So what we're really looking at is not taxpayers' dollars being granted to anybody to do anything. It's really a cooperative undertaking. And our proposal and our discussions to date with everyone at the political level and at the administrative level in various governments on both sides of the border has been on the basis of an investment that was to be repaid, not a grant, not a gift, or anything of that nature.
How many different governments and groups are you approaching for funds?
Well, Senator Murkowski of Alaska has been interested from day one, and we have been communicating with his office and keeping him informed. The governor's office, and particularly the economic branch of the Alaskan government, has been kept informed, and we've had conversations. We've certainly kept the government leader and Shakir Aylward of the Economic Department fully informed in the Yukon. We've kept both the political and the administrative level in Ottawa, in Northern Affairs, and in Dry or Dree fully informed. We've made no specific requests for any specific amount to this stage, except to talk in general figures, and to advise that the amount we were talking about was from both sides of the border. So we haven't said, Alaska, we need this amount of money, Ottawa, Yukon, we need this amount of money.
What assurance do governments have that they'll get their money back?
I think that's all to be negotiated as to the type of investment. For instance, we have been saying, I guess for the sake of simplicity, and there can be many formulas worked out, that perhaps the best way or the easiest way would be for government to have preferred shares that would be non-interest-bearing and tied to the profitability of the railroad as to the schedule of repayment. That is a common deal that has been worked within Canada, where sometimes in mining developments or other developments, government will buy preferred shares and will be tied, let us say, to the world price of metals.
But what if the railway doesn't make a profit? What if the cruise ships just go right on up to Anchorage instead of stopping in Skagway to put people on the train?
Then, of course, government would lose, but also the private sector, who's going to put up several millions of dollars, would also lose, and everyone would lose, and the Yukon's tourism industry and Alaska's tourism industry would be seriously affected. Those are the unknowns.
Now, assuming that my tax dollars are government money, why should Yukoners be willing to put up their tax dollar or two for White Pass? What's in it for us?
Well, I guess if there is no sound reasons, both from an historic and heritage preservation, and governments are very often involved in preserving the history of the country, and if there are no economic reasons for the building of a tourism industry, then there would be no reason. But I think both of those items are very strong reasons why there is a role for government to play.
Ralph Hogan is a Whitehorse businessman and the leader of a group negotiating to buy the White Pass Railway. Our question today on Insight is, do you want your tax dollars to help buy the railway? Give us a call at 667-6265, and please call collect if you're phoning long distance. We want to hear from you. And Ralph Hogan is my studio guest. Mr. Hogan, who else is in the group with you that's trying to buy the railway?
Well, what we did some 6 months ago is put together a cross-border group of directors that could all bring something to the organization itself, could bring something to the negotiations, could bring something to the understanding of the tourist industry. So we have Princess Tours, which is the P&O ship lines. We have Holland America West Tours that already have a very large stake in Alaska and the Yukon. Atlas Tours, that is Whitehorse-based, they too are specialists in travel, particularly from Europe and Australia and Canada. And then the former governor, Sheffield, is part of our group. Bill Fierro, the former mayor of Skagway. We have Bob Wyman, who is president, or chairman, rather, of Pemberton Houston Willoughby, the investment house in Vancouver, and Roy Minter, who is the former, of course, vice president of White Pass and just released his book, as you know, in the last week, The White Pass Story. And the representative of the Yukon Economic Development Corporation, David Joe, and a broad-based group of people, including the president of the Alaskan Railroad that runs from Anchorage to Fairbanks, who can bring a lot of knowledge and background and railroads. We've involved a broad cross-section of people, and some of those have lent their name and their efforts and their work and may not be financially involved in the future. Others, like West Tours and Princess, will have a substantial financial contribution to the project.
So would financial ownership be mainly American or mainly Canadian or 50-50, or how would that break down?
Well, because I live in the Yukon, and this project I look on as a community project as opposed to a business project, principally. The motivation behind it all was, first of all, to save the railroad. There were some statements made it might be torn up and abandoned and sold for scrap and so on. So there was a concern about saving a heritage. There was the economic concern of if the railroad doesn't run again, the ship's captains have told us and the tour operators have told us that the ships will not have a reason to continue coming into Skagway in the numbers they're coming in now because they have alternatives. They're starting to go into Seward. They're starting to go into other points in the Alaska around Anchorage, and investors there have put trains, passenger trains, to carry tourists into Anchorage and so on. There are options for those ships. So if we don't have the railroad, we may see a restricted growth. We may see a leveling. We may see even a slipping back of the number of tourists who route through the Yukon. So as a resident of the Yukon and interested in the Yukon, our primary objective is to make sure that the train runs, and if it runs, it runs all the way into the Yukon. Because I believe from the studies we've done that from a straight business point of view, the best return on investment would be to run the train from Skagway just to the border and turn around and go back to Skagway. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't benefit the Yukon at all. In fact, it would be perhaps harmful to tourism in the Yukon because rather than get on buses and coming to Carcross as they do now, they could get the thrill of the White Pass Railroad up to Fraser, turn around, and go back. And the tour operators would be happy with that.
Right. But what would be the breakdown? Would it be mainly American money?
It will not be, for all of the reasons I've just stated. We want it to be a railroad to benefit the Yukon. And therefore, unless we keep a majority voice in whatever the final financing is worked out, unless we keep the element of control, we may find that the company will decide from a straight business standpoint to turn around at Fraser and never have the railroad into the Yukon period.
Right. You're listening to Insight, the open line show on CBC Yukon. Our telephone number is 667-6265. We would like to hear from you. Give us a call, and please call collect if you're phoning long distance. We go now to our telephone lines. Good afternoon. You're on Insight. Where are you calling from, please?
Hello?
Yes, where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Whitehorse.
Do you want your...
I would like to speak to Ralph, please.
Okay, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Ralph.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony speaking.
Oh, yes.
See, Ralph, a man like me, like a Yukoner, if I would like to place in a couple of dollars in that project, how would I proceed?
I think you've got more than a couple of dollars, but anyway...
You know, how do you call Yukoners like me there that it is their home, it is their part of the country, and would like to share into that and wants to see that back rolling again? How do we proceed on doing it?
There are a few principles and financing views that I hold, and one is that we do want to keep it a Canadian and Yukon element of control for the reasons I've just stated. We do want to work out a plan whereby employees will have an option of participating by having shares, and we do want very much that Yukoners particularly, and perhaps other Canadians, but particularly Yukoners and Alaskans, will have a chance to invest. Our advisors and participants, Pemberton, Houston, Willoughby, who certainly have a tremendous background in financial structures and financial organizations, have cautioned me that even though we develop a very strong and sensible business plan that shows the operation will not only succeed but will be financially successful, any plan has its risks. And they caution me that if we were to invite, at this stage, Yukoners to buy shares, and if the thing failed, they said they might run you out of town on the last train and never want you to set foot in the Yukon again. So they caution that those who can afford risk capital, such as the tour companies I referred to, West Tours and Princess and so on, should be the initial investors and carry the risk for the first season or so, then take the company public when it's proven it will be successful from a financial standpoint, and then, at that time, have Yukoners invest. That's the advice I have received.
Yes, and that's excellent, and thank you very much. And I know that if it goes publicly, personally, I would like to hear that noise again. I would really like to hear that noise there coming into Whitehorse again.
Well, even if
thanks a lot, Ralph.
Okay, thank you for calling.
Thank you, caller. All right, we have more callers waiting. We're going to get to them as quickly as possible. 667-6265 is our number. Please call collect through the operator if you're dialing long distance. Good afternoon. You're on Insight. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Whitehorse. It's Flo Wired.
Hello, ah. Flo. Do you want your tax dollars to help buy the railway?
Yes, I do, and I have never been able to understand why the government didn't put some money in and keep that railroad rolling in the first place. It's a little late now, but it's better now than never. And I have very little choice over where the government puts my money most of the time. And frequently, I don't really approve of how they're spending it, but this is one place I'd like to see it spent.
Very good. You know, it's almost ironic. Here's a little old railroad, the greatest little railroad in the world, never had an element of government money from day one.
That's right.
With the exception of this deal on the locomotives in connection with the mine that of recent of years. But Newfoundland gets $40 million each and every year to keep the railroad running there. The Algoma Railroad out of Sault Ste. Marie got $7.5 million from the federal government this year and $7.5 million from the Ontario government this year in order to keep that railroad going. And each and every year, the railroad that runs by Canadian Pacific, it runs from Victoria to Nanaimo and carries a coach of passengers, gets $6 million a year subsidy. And all we're talking about now is a one-time investment as opposed to a grant, and these others are grants.
Well, I cannot see how the Canadian taxpayer could object if we got a federal one on this. We've been supporting them through all these years. But I thought you were talking about territorial as well, and I'd like to see some of our development dollars going in there.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Okay.
Caller, what would it mean to you to see the railway running again?
Oh, well, I mean, half our history is there. And as the previous caller said, I'd like to hear that whistle blowing again. Each time I get down to eastern Canada and I have a chance to ride on Via Rail, which I do, I want to stand up in the coach and say to those people, hey, don't let this railroad ever stop running, because once it stops, it's an awful job to get it going again, and it's part of your lifeblood.
Thank you very much for calling.
Okay.
Our number is 667-6265. If you can't get through, please keep trying. And if you're calling long distance, please dial collect through the operator. Good afternoon. You're on Insight. Where are you calling from, please?
Dawson City.
Do you want your tax dollars to help buy the railway?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good idea. I came up here too late to ever get a ride on the railway. I always wanted to. One question, though. In the summertime, there's going to be tourists coming up the railroad, and probably a lot of money generated off of that. But in the wintertime, is there going to be any other revenues besides hauling ore, this or that? Are there any other freight that could go back up and down? Just wondering where they might see a profit in the near future. Thank you. I'll wait.
The plan is strictly to run the railroad from May to September for tourists only and no freight in either direction. But by preserving the roadbed and preserving the railroad today, it allows for a freight service to be introduced in the future if such things as, and we know that north of Dawson there's a proven iron ore mine, and we know that there's a proven gold mine. They're not needed today. They're too high cost to go to world markets. And we also know there's another large ore body of lead zinc in north of Ross River. One day, when these are needed in world markets, we'll need a rail corridor to the sea. And to preserve this railroad now assures that in the future it will be there for freight purposes. But today, passengers only, May to September.
All right. Thank you very much, caller, for that. We're going to move on to another phone line. Good afternoon. You're on Insight. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Whitehorse.
Do you want your tax dollars to help buy the railway?
I don't object to my tax dollars going to buy the railway. No, if it's a question of having the railway up and running, I'd like to see them go in that direction. But I do have something to comment on in terms of the financial advice that Mr. Hogan's been given from his advisors, and that is this. Mr. Hogan, I think it's Houston Willoughby, you said. I think they're applying the wisdom of Southern Canada to you, Connors, in suggesting to you that you might be run out of town on the last train if the railway were to fail and you had investors from the beginning. I think that Yukoners understand risks and understand business risks. Otherwise, a lot of the placer miners and so on wouldn't be here. I think that we would welcome the opportunity to invest from the outset. Our money is going to go into this thing. If it goes in tax dollars, it's going to be our money as well. And I don't see why we can't have the opportunity right from the beginning to go in as investors as opposed to merely taxpayers. I'd like to see the opportunity for free enterprise or private enterprise to take the thing and run with as little government participation as possible. And I think that you, Connors, have the willingness to take those kinds of risks if they're given the opportunity.
Well, I appreciate that call, because that would be my view, that it should be open immediately to all investors. But, you know, I guess I would be very concerned to lead an organization with a lot of Yukoners putting money into it and then having them lose their money. But your views of this nature would encourage me to go back to our advisor and say, hey, why don't we put great warnings out that this is still risk money, but welcome it. I don't know.
Well, I understand you've already had some money from somebody who's prepared to take the risk even though he hasn't got shares to show for his investment. So, you know, if there's more of those kinds of indications, then I wish you would have another look at it with your financial advisor.
We've had several letters, but the one that was reported in the newspaper where $400 was actually a check written for that, and I have another letter in the file where there's $20,000 waiting, again emphasizing we know it's a risk, but we want to participate. It's just fantastic, the sort of encouragement we're getting in that respect.
And I think a lot of Yukoners would appreciate the chance to feel that they made a direct contribution, one that they decided on personally. In other words, they take the pen and they write their names on the bottom of the check, so they have taken a direct step in seeing the thing go again, rather than just knowing that some great giant tax fund was dipped into to pay for it. Anyway, I've made my point now. Thanks a lot.
Well, I think it's very encouraging to hear this type of remark. I should mention the financing structure somewhat. What we did in our studies is determine that these are the projected revenues, these are the projected operating costs, this would be the result if we pay XYZ dollars. And so we determined the maximum number of dollars that could be invested by equity investors and how much debt the railroad could support in order to reach a break-even point. And then the difference between that level, which adds up to, let's, for the sake of argument, say roughly $5 million, then the difference between that and the lowest negotiated price that we could negotiate from the current owners, and that figure I don't want to reveal at the moment, the difference there, we're saying, will need the bridging of government involvement. And there is a limit to how much equity money and debt money can go into the project, just basically on the basis of the profit and loss.
We're going to have to pause for a newscast here in 1 minute, so I would ask the callers who are waiting on the line to please hold through our newscast, and we'll pick you up right after that's over. My guest in the studio today is Rolf Hogan, a Whitehorse businessman, leader of a group negotiating to buy the White Pass Railway. We're asking today, do you want your tax dollars to help buy the railway? You can give us a call at 667-6265. Please call collect if you're calling long distance, and we hope to have a number of callers on the line by the time our 1 o'clock news is over.
From CBC Radio.
Five minutes past 1 o'clock, and for those of you who are just joining us, this is the continuation of Insight, our open line show on CBC Yukon. My guest in the studio today is Rolf Hogan, a Whitehorse businessman, head of a group negotiating to buy the White Pass Railway. And we're asking you today, you want your tax dollars to help buy the White Pass. Give us a call at 667-6265. Please call collect if you're phoning long distance. The number again is 667-6265. And we've had some callers holding through that newscast. We go to the first of those now. Good afternoon. You're on Insight. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Whitehorse.
Do you want your tax dollars to help buy the White Pass Railway?
Well, I guess there's two ways to answer that. First of all, if the government was spending the money, I wouldn't want it to. But having an entrepreneur and a person like Rolf Hogan, who I highly commend for his efforts and years and his proven abilities as a businessman, you know, running other businesses and to be involved in the setting up of the railroad or getting it going again, I certainly wouldn't have any hesitation to see my tax dollar go there. In fact, as other callers have indicated, I would invest in it as a business and take a risk on it that we could make it go. I think there are several things that I would like to see happen in that area, Ralph, and one of them is that employees has always been sort of a problem the last number of years because of unionization and all this type and that, and that possible staff would be put on in some kind of an incentive in which they would have an involvement with the company more than an employee.
I agree with that fully, and the structure that we're going to design will have employees become shareholders.
Yeah, and I think from there on it's clear sailing, and I've been following your progress, and I'm really encouraged to see you're taking the initiative, Ralph, to, you know, to develop the railroad. And I don't think the railroad would have gone down had we not been knocked out by a highly unionized mine, and that caused the railroad to go the same way, and that when it went down, that just sent such a shockwave through a territory it couldn't hold. And I believe we go back to the very principles of people really being rewarded for their efforts, and it can't help but be a success.
Caller, what would it mean to you to see the railway running again?
Well, it would mean a great deal. We were the ones that supplied the majority of the railroad and railroad ties in the last few years, and it created a lot of employment for us and for other people. And I know that it would do that again, and personally, it would mean quite a bit to me.
All right. What about as a Yukoner, business aside? What would it mean?
Say that again.
What would it mean to you, business aside? What sort of personal feeling?
Well, I believe that it is considered to be one of the feats that is recognized as a something that couldn't be done. It's one of the seven wonders, or what you want to say. It goes right alongside the Brooklyn Bridge and a few other efforts like Rushmore Monument. It was no trivial little task to put this railroad in. It's always been a real attraction, not just here but around the world, and I think it's something that needs to be be rolling again, and I think it can be rolled properly like it did in the past.
All right. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
All right. We have telephone lines jammed at the moment, but don't give up if you call and can't get through at first. Keep calling, 667-6265. You're on Insight. Good afternoon. Where are you calling from, please?
Whitehorse.
Do you want your tax dollars to help buy the railway?
Yeah, I would, sort of failing all other options, it would be, I think, valuable for somebody to get it rolling again. I think it was probably one of the most unique things left up here from our sort of gold rush history, and it's still functioning. I would also think that it would be good for people to have an opportunity to invest in it. I don't know whether I mean that in the sense of a full business investment, but could there be an honorary stock sent out and people would buy it on the understanding that they're simply investing in a heritage project, not necessarily a profitable venture? Mr. Hogan?
Well, there's... I guess there's endless ways we could go about this.
Would there be not enough revenue got from an approach like that? I suppose that would be the bottom line on it.
What are you seeing, caller? Getting a certificate saying I helped to save the White Pass Railway for your $50 or whatever?
Yeah, for sure.
Well,
a lot of people would be interested in having a certificate or something in that line.
Once a deal is made, basically, we have a plan that might be like selling cornflakes, where we will have a beautiful certificate designed. And that certificate, we hope, can be promoted on television across Canada with a trial marketplace being Vancouver. And this certificate would be likely worth $100.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be something very suitable for framing that really says save the railroad and or help restore an element of the railroad. And we would then say that that certificate is of value.
Mm-hmm.
Present it at Whitehorse or Skagway, and you get a ride on the railroad. It's like the seat sale of airlines, in a sense. You'd get a ride on the railroad, and it would be properly sealed with a legal certificate, and that would void it for second use, but it would also add to its value when you frame it. Sort of, I rode the railroad. We're contemplating that type of a marketing of for fundraising, and maybe that would be used. It can't be done before the deal is made, because you're offering a ride.
Yeah.
So it would have to be after, but it could be used for restoring some of the historic parts of the
railroad. A significant amount of money coming from that?
I think, it's never been tried in that I'm aware of, but I've asked the advertising agencies and others whether the idea had merit. They tell me it does. And I think we would embark on that as a means of restoring historic parts of the railroad.
Probably sell an awful lot right here in the territory.
So that's the sort of thing you had in mind, caller.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
If we did it before the deal was made, we'd have to make it a conditional thing that if the railroad
might
runs...
Risk that. Thank you very much. I think it's great what you guys are trying to do.
Thank you, caller.
Bye-bye.
All right, on to our next telephone line. Good afternoon. You're on Insight. Where are you calling from, please?
Whitehorse.
Do you want your tax dollars to help buy the railway?
Well, I certainly do. I don't... I subscribe to the view that in doing this that we are really buying it for ourselves. I've heard the word community used a few times, and I decided to phone in on that basis. I've been taking a look at the economics of the train thing myself for the past year, and I was looking back at the time when the train was originally closed and what happened shortly after. I'm talking now about the major downturn in our economy, and I have a figure here which I'd like just to put forward as a stimulant for some of the other people that might be thinking about supporting or not supporting this train. In 1981, I found that 554,000 tons of freight was hauled by trucks. And in the mining downturn of 1983 and 84, that was reduced to 45,000 tons. That was a decline of some 90%. And what I'm saying is that mining, which is our major industry in our economy, has gone up and down, and it always will. There'll be major fines, and there'll be downturns, and there'll be price fluctuations. But if we continue to trim down our transportation sources, we're leaving ourselves with no cards left to be able to thrive as an economy. Now, I'll give you one quick example of that. Just last year, we were reduced to one airline. A few years before that, we were reduced to the train. I think we were reduced when the train went out of business. I think we weren't looking at the fact that with the major downturn in mining, we had to get off. We had to get off, if you will, the word I'll use, duff. We had to go out and find new ways to continue as a viable economy. And that train was just reaching a zenith in terms of the tourist participation. I don't have the figures in front of me here. Perhaps Ralph could supply them. But I heard somewhere that it was somewhere around 60 to 80,000 people were hauled in one season. Would that be right, Ralph?
Before the road opened, it peaked at around 75,000 passengers. And after the road opened, it affected it somewhat. But it was at 56,000 at 82. And White Pass had projected in their business plan that they would carry 70,000 in 83. We are looking at, in our business plan, between 90 and 100,000 a year once we get a full year's operation, in other words, in 89. Next year, if we do make a deal and it does go, we expect about 60,000 for the summertime only. But in 82, there were 80 cruise ships docking in Skagway. Now there are 200 cruise ships of a ocean-going nature docking in Skagway, plus about another 60 smaller ones that are 50 to 100 passengers. So on that criteria, 100,000 seems like a reasonable estimate of the number of passengers we could carry in one season.
Yeah. Well, I'm a firm believer. I've heard the question of the interviewer a few times. Well, I believe that the train has the ability to pull us into the next century, because I don't think we've even begun to develop the Yukon yet in the ways that we can do. And if we were to reduce the train, we've done it once, we can't make the same mistake again. So I'm just going to close with this remark. We're doing this for ourselves.
Well,
all Yukoners should support this.
I tell you, if we get this off and running and successful for a season or two, and if I still have the enthusiasm and energy, the next project will be to recreate one of the ships like the Tushai and run it again on the series of lakes. And there's been two or three gentlemen interested in that type of a thing in the past, and they would be the first ones I would sit down with and see if we can't, under some joint undertaking, actually get back into the tourist business in a very, very meaningful way by building another boat that could operate on that chain of lakes.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. I'm very happy to have supported this project.
Thank you very much, caller. Our number is 667-6265. We would like to hear from you. Please give us a call and call collect if you're phoning long distance. Good afternoon. You're on Insight. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Whitehorse.
Do you want your tax dollars to help buy the railway?
Yes, I most certainly do. I see that tourism is probably our strongest renewable resource, and that railway would give us an excellent base to build probably one of the most outstanding tourism businesses in the world. It's a nice, clean resource. People come, they spend money, they go home. And I'd be very much in favor of seeing the railway run on that basis.
Thank you very much. I think it's this type of support, and I would hope it's universal. And I guess at this time I should say, because the local printed media unintentionally created, I think, in one of the articles, this was a Rolf Hogan project and that I was doing it and that it was my group, the group implying, I guess, or perhaps that it was my business group. I want to make it very clear that if the thing goes ahead, I will indeed be an investor. I will indeed have a minority position in shares. I will have an involvement, but my involvement will be very small. It'll be a very broadly based commitment, of which I happen to be the spokesman of those who will invest. So that I wouldn't want someone to say, well, the taxpayers are going to Rolf Hogan and that he's going to get all the benefits out of this.
And in conjunction with the railroad starting utilizing tax dollars, I'd like to also see a public share issue in the Yukon and Southeast Alaska to allow us to participate. I believe it would make it feel more like it's our own railroad.
But would you like that at a time when it's still a risky business, or have those who can afford the risk take that risk the first year and then come out with a public issue?
No, I'd like to see everybody take the risk, share the risk. If you have the ability to share the risk, you have the ability to share the profit.
I see. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, caller. Our number is 667-6265. We do have a line or two open right now, so now would be a good time to call, and call collect if you're phoning long distance. Good afternoon. You're on Insight. Where are you calling from, please?
821.
A caller, where are you calling from, please? Okay, caller, can you hear me? Okay, go ahead. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from the South Klondike, Bud Twiggs Resort on the South Klondike Highway.
All right. Do you want your tax dollars to help buy the railway?
I would like to ask Mr. Hogan. Firstly, I'd like to mention that it's a real pleasure to listen to all this support and enthusiasm, and we're certainly behind Mr. Hogan's efforts. And I'd like to ask Mr. Hogan if he has researched the possibility of using flow through shares to raise money to support the railroad, over.
I guess I always think of flow through shares as related to the mining and exploration industry, and I don't know whether they are applicable on this at all, but that's something I will inquire about since you raised the issue.
Yes, appreciate it, Mr. Hogan, because the flow through money is assisted the mining industry and the oil industry, gas industry, extensively. And just one other question. A lot of us are curious if you have been successful in negotiating a satisfactory working arrangement with the Alaska labor force, over.
No, but we've had many discussions. We've had no negotiations, but we've talked to many members of the unions in Skagway particularly. That is the type of railroad we're running now, as opposed to what it was before, is going to involve about 5 management people, basically, on a year-round basis, and another roughly 50 on a summer part-time-only basis. So that I don't think it's sort of the issue that it had been when it was a year-round freight and passenger railroad. So the answer is we've had many discussions. We've not had any negotiations.
Thank you, Mr. Hogan, and good luck and every success with restarting the railroad.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, caller. Our number is 667-6265. Rolf Hogan is my studio guest, and we go now to another phone line. Good afternoon. You're on Insight. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from the Carcross Road.
Do you want your tax dollars to help buy the White Pass?
I wouldn't mind my tax dollars going for it, but I would certainly like to be an investor in it. I think it's, like the other caller said, for the Yukon and for our people here.
You know, I'm going to send a copy of this tape down to our key player from Pemberton's, and a great guy, and he's been up to ride the railroad. He's enthusiastic. His name is Brooke Campbell. He's a vice president of Pemberton's, and he's a key player in all of the negotiations because he understands the issue, because he was one of the key players in getting the railroad going from Vancouver up the, where does it run up to, you know, along the coast of B.C. So he has a background and all. I'm going to send a tape of all of this to him so he will hear the reaction of Yukoners.
Mr. Hogan, I'd also like to add that if the Yukoners are able to invest, it's also a means for them to keep it going, because they aren't going to want it to fail. So it would make them want to do more aside from the railway to keep the tourists here. They don't want the railway to fail again.
Well, that's a good point, too, and fantastic. I'm very, very pleased with the number of calls that feel that even they, at an early stage, would like to take a risk. And having said take a risk, because all new ventures are risk, the economics do indeed, based on the scenario we've put together of private and public money being invested, the scenario looks very promising. But as someone mentioned before, if all the ships started coming into Skagway, that scenario could turn the other way in a hurry.
Right. Thank you for your trouble, Mr. Hogan.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, caller. And we have a couple of lines open. Please give us a call if you want to get in on this discussion today. 667-6265 is our number. And please call Collect if you're phoning long distance. Good afternoon. You're on Insight. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Whitehorse. Ralph, Tony Facetta here.
Oh, yeah.
I listened to your discussions about the financing method which your advisors advise you. I am savvy to several methods, other methods of financing. For example, a multi-million dollar corporation was pulled together by government money, and then the shares eventually were given back to the people, and the people who participated could buy this buy the shares back. Why not use that method in here? That the government money should be put up as a taxpayer's money. I have no objection to that. And that same taxpayer's amount, same taxpayer's money, with the 1, 2, or 3 years later, is released back to the people who wants to buy the shares from Yukon Territory.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and the other system there, that a certain amount of the employees, not certain amount, all the employees should be not only have the option to buy equity, but more or less they should be forceful participation in order to make them economically more responsible to that organization.
The ones, the people that we've talked to are certainly keen, the employees. They want a share purchase plan as part of their working for the railroad. We've had that message strong from a good number of people.
Anyway, this is what I mentioned about the financial method. If I, you know, I can see you, this is not a place to discuss the method because it's a fairly lengthy one, but I can, if you're interested, I can describe to you how it worked, and it pulled together millions and millions of dollars and millions of other funds in other countries for developing areas where development money was needed. And it worked, and it worked perfectly well. And I think it could be, if you know the techniques, I think it's utilizable here too very well. I am available to you anytime you know that.
Okay, thank you. And if the political will is there, I think that or another combination certainly could work.
All right, thank you very much, caller.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. All right, we move on to another telephone line now. Good afternoon. You're on Insight. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Whitehorse, but I'm a resident of Winnipeg, Manitoba, just visiting the territory this week.
All right, well, what's your answer to our question? Do you want your tax dollars to help buy the White Pass?
I wouldn't mind at all, but I think I'd rather be a shareholder, if possible. I'm delighted to hear of plans to have the railway going again. I rode it several years back, and it was one of the most exhilarating days of my life. It was a beautiful day. I loved it. I've driven the road several times, but it just doesn't compare with that train trip. And I have said to many friends in Winnipeg and down south how great that trip was, and that it was too bad that the railway wasn't running. So I'd like to know when I could possibly tell them they can come up and make the railway trip.
I wish we were that positive now. We sort of have a 1-2-3 step, and one of the steps was, of course, determining that it was financially viable and on what basis. The other was what price could we buy it for under what terms and conditions. We still haven't resolved all of those issues, but we're making progress on them. And, of course, the final one is how the private sector and government can cooperate in really making it happen. If all of those things come together, we would want to have people in the workshops of Skagway starting work on restoration of the coaches and the locomotives. And if they can get into the shops in January, we can be running in June of 88.
I'm delighted to hear that, and I hope everything works well for you. And I'll certainly do my bit in my part of the country to help tourism up here, because I think it's one of the most beautiful spots in the country.
Thank you very much for your call, but you'll notice in my response I still put a fair number of ifs in everything I said, because the package isn't all together yet.
No, but I'll keep in touch, and hopefully within the next year or two you'll see more of us from down there up here because the railway's going. I'd also like to see it carry the freight someday. I don't like the trucks on the highway. I find them rather scary. So I'd love to be able to see a freight train hauling the ore along that road too.
Well, if we save the railroad today and operate it today for passengers, it's always there to go back into the freight business when the economics dictate that.
Sounds great.
Thank you very much, caller. Our number is 667-6265. We would like to hear from you. Call collect if you're calling long distance. Good afternoon. You're on Insight. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Whitehorse.
Do you want your tax dollars to help buy the railway?
Yes, indeed. I think it's an extremely good way to spend our tax dollars. I think that we should remember that if we don't get something going between here and Skagway, more and more of the tourist traffic is going to go up to Whittier, which is on the base of the railroad that goes up through Alaska. And a very large portion of our tourist trade really does come over that route. It also comes here because it used to come here because of the railroad. The railroad is the railroad, along with Glacier Bay, is one of the two major basic tourist attractions of the north. And of this area, this area of the tourist industry of the world, that's major. And so anything that can get that going is certainly worth my dollars. I just kind of hope that they make it possible to buy stocks in the whole thing for public, some kind of a public deal whereby I could buy stocks.
Well, I can assure you one thing. The plan is for Yukoners and Alaskans to take part in a public stock issue. I suppose it's the timing that has to be decided.
Yeah, and the other thing is, of course, I assume that you're going to only go as far as Carcross. Is that it?
The plan for the coming year is to go to Carcross.
Mm-hmm. And then I think that what Whitehorse should be looking for is to do something with the waterfront to make it an excellent reason, a good economic reason, for the railroad to come as far as Whitehorse again.
I would hope that it would come to Whitehorse in a year or two after that. We're concentrating in Carcross. It's the easiest part. In spite of all that mountain terrain, it's the easiest part to rehabilitate.
Mm-hmm.
There's very little wrong with the roadbed, whereas between here and Carcross, there's some more substantial washouts. So we're concentrating on one end of it now, and we'll deal with the second part. Our purchase agreement includes right through to Whitehorse. Indeed, the agreement that, or the understanding, it's not an agreement yet, the understanding we have does include a plan whereby some of the riverfront will be part of the package. And since the territory has indicated a desire on occasion, and the city has indicated a desire to develop the waterfront, through this agreement,
mm-hmm.
this should see some of the riverfront lands available to the territory or city government for development.
You see, because then, of course, you see what could happen is that we could pull out a lot of that tourist traffic right through the Yukon that's going back to Skagway and up through into Valdez and whatever, because what we could do is really make a really good waterfront item going, bring them over on the railroad, and then they come down, go down the Yukon River, and then it becomes an economic project to develop Carmax and Selkirk and along the railroad, along the Yukon River to a very great extent. And so I think this is very hopeful, and I have to say that this is one government way of spending money that's actually productive, and I'm actually it's the first one I've heard of in a long time, and I'm in favor of it totally.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. All right, we're going to move on to another line. Our number is 667-6265, and if you haven't been able to get through, now might be a good time to try. Good afternoon. You're on Insight. Where are you calling from, please?
Well, I'm from Clark Ross, but...
Do you want your tax dollars to help buy the railway?
Yes, I'd be more than willing, and I wouldn't hesitate a minute in putting a few dollars into a public issue either.
Why? What would it mean to you?
Well, maybe it might be a detriment to us here, but I still think it's a very important thing for the Yukon to keep that railroad going.
Now you're someone with a business on the Klondike Highway.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Somehow,
I wish Ralph all the luck in the world.
I thank you very much for your call, and you know, I see sort of everyone a winner, because if we don't do this time, and we don't have the train running, which, if our plan should fall apart for whatever reason and we don't do it, I would find that the 6-7 months that I personally have spent on the project still worthwhile if it resulted in somebody doing it. If White Pass themselves were to do it, if another company came along and said, hey, we'll buy it and do it, providing it comes all the way into the Yukon from Skagway, I would work just as hard for anyone else to make it happen as the business plan we're proposing. So I think everyone will benefit, because without the railroad, our tourism ultimately is in danger of perhaps leveling off or slipping back a little bit.
That's right. Yeah, I'm sure you're right there. As far as rebuilding the railroad, I've been over it myself from one end to the other, and it's not going to be that big of a project.
It can be done, and it can be done within the time frame we've mentioned.
Yeah. Okay, I'll let you get on to somebody else, Ralph.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, caller. Mr. Hogan, what kind of shape is the roadbed in? Just what extensive work would be required, and are the people available to do that work?
Well, I've been over it twice on a Casey, so it's, you can travel on it today. You wouldn't put a train on it until you did a certain amount of work. But one of our consultants down from the Alaska Railroad, to give you an illustration, he said, give me a wheelbarrow and a shovel and I'll run the train tomorrow. It's basically in condition that 6 weeks of work will have the trains running once again from Skagway to Carcross. 6 weeks of work on the roadbed and filling here and repairing track that may have had a big boulder fall on them and push them a little out of whack. But it's not a big undertaking. It's costly. The total thing, it's $1 million approximately to reopen the railroad before the first train runs, and roughly another $1 million to be spent during the summer of 88 to replace some 12,000 ties and do other work. So the first year's capital expenditure is approximately $2 million, but before the first train runs, it's approximately $1 million. And I should pay tribute to Marvin Taylor, who knows that. He's the White Pass vice president here. He knows the railroad from end to end. He gave a figure probably 2 years ago. He said, we can get that going for about $800,000. And, you know, that figure is still pretty valid. It's deteriorated a bit since, but not much. And Marvin has been so cooperative in every way in this 6 months. When we needed a train to take the financial people or to take the Canadian Transport Commission people or to take the Alaska Railroad people, and all of these have been here, even to take a photographer. They've always, in short notice, had cars available so we could travel
from Skagway up to Bennett and so on. So it's been a very cooperative effort with the White Pass organization.
What kind of shape is the rolling stock in? I was down in Skagway in late August and was looking at some of the cars that have been sitting out there for a number of years. There's been a bit of vandalism, and it would take a fair bit of work.
Well, from the locomotive standpoints that are inside a building, from all of the inspections we've had done, looking at them from the outside, they look to be in good condition. You know, once they get inside and do some work, there could be a few minor surprises, I would think, but nothing major. The coaches, the ones with the canvas top, there's been a lot of rain get through. They're in pretty bad shape. The ones that are steel are in pretty good shape. We estimate from $10,000 to $30,000 per car, and there are 30 cars that have to be rehabilitated. And in that connection, we're contemplating inviting some of the firms, particularly those who have an interest in the Yukon, of participating by restoring a car and then having a brass plaque at each end saying, this car was restored by XYZ company, as another means of helping to participate in the total financing. And I know that probably Hogan's Limited would be interested in restoring a car and having a plaque put on that car and so on.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you know the price. Are there some other details still to be worked out with White Pass before the deal could be complete?
Oh, yes. The pipeline runs along the right-of-way, and naturally the pipeline is very, very important to the Yukon. It's important to White Pass. So the manner in which we interface has to be worked out. There are a lot of terms and conditions that need to be negotiated yet. Much of it is sort of lawyer to lawyer on terminology, but there are some principles that have to be decided. I don't think they're ones that can't be overcome. I feel that we can sit down and hammer them all out. And sitting down, I should say that Brooke Campbell was part of our negotiating team, as was Roy Minter. And Roy was invaluable with his depth of knowledge of the background of the railroad and his insight into the future of tourism and how it can affect the Yukon. And Roland McCaffrey, who's known to many, he used to be with the Yukon Economic Development, and he joined with me about 6 months ago and has carried the ball on this project all the way through. And the four of us have been sitting down on these negotiations.
How soon do you need to know whether you will get the government help?
Well, we've mutually agreed with White Pass that we should set December 14th as sort of a deadline to be able to say, yes, the government in principle agrees and will find a way. Because I think they can find a way. There's Parks Canada interests in developing Bennett. And there's vast lands. Part of our deal is 16 acres. All of the White Pass lands at Bennett will be part of this transfer. So Parks Canada has a means or a reason to become involved. Tourism Yukon. There are some who say, hey, the railroad's been down 5 years. Tourism is going up in leaps and bounds. And why do we need the railroad to boost tourism? Those who believe in that overlook the fact, and I think we've done enough research to realize that tourism has been good, but most of those tourists have thought that somewhere along the line they might be riding the rails, and many have been very disappointed. And in the end, tourism, as I've said before in this program, might start to decline. So I think tourism has a national tourism, Canada-wide, and Yukon tourism has a reason to be involved, as could heritage. So there are many players that could be involved in this.
Now, although we haven't heard from any of them today, some people might say they wonder why the government should help you buy the railway when you're already a successful businessman. Why should the government help?
They're not helping me, per se, and they're not helping our business group, per se. It's a joint undertaking. It's like saying that there's a mine way up in north of Ross River. Now, why don't you develop the mine? But government must be involved. There is a role for government to play in the communications and the building of bridges and the building of roads, maybe in the housing end of it. because there's a return for government and its investment by corporate taxes, by personal taxes, by the spin-offs, even the buying of fuel, that there's a tax component and so on. In the case here, there's a spin-off benefit in the way, so far as tourism is concerned, there's a spin-off benefit in employment. Not only the direct employment in the railroad, but the other employment, such as the cutting of ties. We have to buy some 12,000 ties a year that have come from the Yukon in the past. So there are many benefits where, aside from heritage, aside from preservation of history, there are commercial benefits that there's a role for a government to play in this undertaking. So I think it's wrong to say that the government is helping Rolf Hogan or Rolf Hogan and the group. Sure, we're putting together a business plan. Otherwise, we won't get any private sector money. It has to be a solid, financially viable business plan in order to get the investors, in order to invite the public to come into it, and in order to assure it's an ongoing thing. But in this particular project, there must be some government involvement. Not by grants, not by gifts, but by an equity position tied to the success of the railroad.
Do you have any concerns that free trade could affect your deal if you don't have your financing in place soon?
No. When I say financing in place, we hope by December 14th we get clear signals that not the specific fund, but the determination by government to work to find a way so that we can start actually working in Skagway in January. So we've tried to establish the 14th of December as sort of the next key point in this whole thing.
Kind of a Christmas present.
Be great.
Well, all the callers we've heard from today have said yes to our question. Nobody said no. So it seems like little kids like toy trains and bigger kids like the White Pass Yukon route.
Yeah, I think that there probably is very strong public support, Yukon-wide and Canada-wide, for this. And we know we're in a financial tight bind in Ottawa, but I go back to there are many programs of grants to railroads, outright grants to railroads, so I see no reason why, with determination of the government leaders, the government political people in the Yukon and the political people in Ottawa, I see no reason why some means can't be found for an involvement in this particular project.
Mr. Hogan, thank you very much for being my guest on Insight today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Rolf Hogan is a Whitehorse businessman, head of a group negotiating to buy the White Pass Railway, as he says, December 14th.